Oh, yeah. You know, one thing we have not brought up, we didn't bring it up yesterday, completely my fault, haven't brought it up today, is I do think it's interesting on how and why Sean missed yesterday's show, and we actually have audio from what happened at his house that caused him to miss the show. So we'll get to that in a few minutes, but right now, for the first time in a very long time, and this will be tough because I thought Lugie did an amazing job, Sean's back with his Cincos.
Cinco de Fivo with Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
Guess we're not doing my AI entrances anymore. Cinco de Fivo is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything everywhere, and by Wendy's. Try the new Pretzel Baconator today. I did it, folks. I spent 6 days of this show not hearing a single sentence Tommy Lugauer subjected you to Cinco de Fivo, so we're back with the good ones now, okay?
You didn't listen to any Cincos from Tommy?
Lugie!
Didn't want to be deterred, didn't want to be angered, didn't want to deal with anything, so I have no idea what he did.
I thought he did a good job.
Sure. I'm sure he did a halfway decent job.
Well, yeah. I think he did better than halfway. I think he did a very good job.
Oh, look, when you're the future and it looks a lot like Andujar with the Yankees, I'm sure.
This is why I'm the future.
Wow. All right. So I'm going to give you, in my opinion, the 5 worst losses of the Mets so far this season.
Oh, jeez.
All right.
Go ahead.
Here we go.
Here we go!
Number 5.
Their loss of dignity, which happened on Hello Kitty Day, marking what must have been the team's first sellout since opening day. And by doing a Hello Kitty Day, they drew more people than 2 number retirements this year. So loss of dignity, number 5.
I wish I could retort this, but it is true that the Mets drew better for Hello Kitty Bobblehead Day than they did for Doc and Daryl Day. So it is a fact. So my response will just simply be, touche, sir.
5 worst losses of the Mets season so far. Here we go.
Number 4.
So if number 5 was their loss of dignity, number 4 is the rally pimp. He peaked too early. Cool, unique figure that unfortunately has been upstaged by Grimace and many multiple different gimmicks now that I've lost track of, including apparently furries. So big, big loss. The rally pimp could have been a really cool gimmick.
I don't think the furries were anything to do with rally.
It's been multiple series now.
Yeah, but it's just they're just around.
Yeah, I would.
They're a gimmick.
I wouldn't count that.
Nobody's championing them.
No one connected to it. In fact, most people listening right now probably have no idea about it.
Right.
The rally pimp had great potential. And I thought Andy Martino led to the legend of the Rally Pimp. Because remember, when the Rally Pimp shows up, Andy came out, very strong opinion about, hey, this is wrong. We shouldn't be glorifying pimps. The guy then responds by saying, I'm not a pimp. Like, no one's glorifying pimps. But I thought Andy mentioning it made him more of a pimp than he actually was. Right.
What's wrong with the age-old profession of pimping?
You got to talk to Andy about that.
Yeah, talk to him. But if the pimp appeared in June for the first time, Rally Pimp would have lived on. He was a loss. Now, we don't really
Timing is everything in life.
All right, here we go.
Number 3.
It's Pete Alonso in the Home Run Derby last night. And I'm actually going to credit you, Evan, and Met fans. They are the last fan base. You guys are the last fan base that actually cares about who wins the event. And there's something cool about that. But for Pete Alonso to flop like that after the Met fans hyped up the whole day about the Home Run Derby.
It was the pitcher.
It's a disappointing loss.
So I don't have enough time to find the old tweet, but I have a feeling I can find an old tweet within 5 minutes that proves you're a hypocrite.
Okay.
And really what I'm looking for is Sean celebrating Joe Harris in the 3-point shootout. Because I'm pretty sure he did it.
I don't
want to hear any Wahoo hate over there, Evan.
No, I
loved Joe Harris.
I'm not hating Joe. I'm just showing he's a hypocrite.
Until I saw him in the playoffs.
No, that's fair.
Yes.
So you probably enjoy Joe Harris in the 3-point contest, yet you're mocking Met fans with...
Here's proof, and Lugie, you back me up. I was yesterday's day old when I knew Aaron Judge even participated in a Home Run Derby once before.
Really? You didn't even remember that?
Nope.
Interesting.
Nope. All right, here we go.
He won.
Number 2.
I did not know that either.
He was epic.
I thought Tino in 97 was the last Yankee to win.
No. Aaron Judge won epically.
I don't remember
and
that.
And it was, like, dominant.
I bet you most Yankee fans don't know that.
And then he dropped. Oh, I guarantee
no,
you
No, Met fans
do.
Care about the stuff.
Here's what I need to find, and I need work on this.
He dropped the mic on it.
I'll try to find this before the end of the show. I'm pretty sure I can also find a tweet of him complimenting Aaron Judge for winning the Home Run Derby.
You won't.
You guarantee that?
Guarantee it.
Because he deleted it?
No, I don't delete tweets.
He doesn't delete tweets.
My name doesn't rhyme with Shmami Moomauer. I don't delete tweets.
Yeah, Tommy's accused of deleting a tweet.
All right, here we go.
Yeah.
What are we up to?
Number 1.
No, I didn't do number 2. The 5 worst losses of the Mets so far this season. Francisco Alvarez's injury in L.A. on April 19th.
100%.
Mets had started to play well. 6 weeks of chaos and losses without him. You can't help but wonder if the Mets are actually in a comfortable playoff position that he never gotten hurt.
The Mets have had injuries this season, significant ones. Starling Marte recently. Kodai Senga, obviously, all year. It appears like he's on his way back. Edwin Diaz. There has been no more impactful an injury then losing Francisco Alvarez, and the win-loss record tells it all.
All right. And number one.
Number one.
The worst Met loss of the year actually happened preseason. It happened when the Yankees traded for Juan Soto, in many ways effectively ending the Mets' pursuit and chances of signing him, as deep down the fans know. They got no shot versus Hal's Big Bucks. Hope everybody's enjoyed that first half of the year. Enjoy that September schedule. Take care, everyone.
Not done with you yet.
Okay, cool. I'm here.
Number one, we got ears everywhere.
Yeah?
You made a big deal over the Mets OMG concert and the fact that that was something that was going to lead to struggles.
Yeah, my folks in Houston contacted me.
And what I don't appreciate about what you did, it's all about owning your mistakes around you.
Sure.
Tiki's owned mistakes. Yep. I've owned mistakes. Lugie's learning how to own mistakes. And so you were right at a time. The Mets lost two straight games to the Astros.
Yeah.
They split games against Washington. They split games against Pittsburgh.
Sure.
And then they proceeded to win 5 of 6. And when I innocently said, hey, can you update the Mets record since the OMG concert, you decided to move the goalposts by saying, well, they're playing the Rockies.
Well, sure.
It doesn't. No, it's not true.
You
what's
can't,
their
you can't,
record?
No, you can't do back-to-back series versus big teams and then decide the flex. I was right.
No, what? You were right about what? What's
they're
their record?
They 3 games over since the concert?
They lost one series to one of the best teams in baseball. That's who the Astros really are.
Okay.
And then on
Pirates
the road,
made him their daddy for 2 games.
They split 4 games against
them. They started off those 2 games versus the Nationals. The Mets have not played great since that concert.
They did what they needed to do in
Washington
and Pittsburgh.
By the way, should you really be talking? You lost the game at home to the Rockies. That's embarrassing.
They went
you're not a serious playoff team losing at home to the Rockies.
Tiki, listen to this crap.
You know that the best team in baseball, the Phillies, got their asses kicked by the A's.
Yeah, I know it happens. It happens.
Exactly.
Yankees got swept
it
by
happens.
The Reds.
So that's where you got to just admit you were wrong.
But I'm not wrong.
Sean, you did something Met fans did. I got a guy on the Rico named Negative Dan, okay? Negative Dan, very negative guy.
Sentence.
He was on the top rope with you, the OMG concert on the team. This is a joke. And I even admitted on the Rico, there are a lot of Met fans who believe this is going to be
but
the thing
Evan,
that brings
Evan,
their season
they have
out.
Not played
Let
great
me finish,
baseball
Sean.
Since then.
Yeah, okay, they went 4-4 on a road trip and then went 5-1 at home. They did exactly what I asked them to do on the radio on the Friday before.
That is the definition of the grim mid-Mets.
Sean, you're wrong. You got to own it.
No, I'm not wrong.
You went out there.
And I will prove to be right when they don't make the playoffs.
No, you weren't because your line of demarcation was a concert. Their response to it, yes, was losing 2 games to the Houston Astros, who, by the way, I think we all admit, a lot better than you realize.
Couldn't win a series versus the Pirates, couldn't win a series to the Nationals.
Did they lose a series to the Pirates?
So what are we supposed to do, 11 series after? I'm supposed to still be keeping track? Three series in a row, they couldn't win a series.
And then they woke up, and they went 5-1 home.
Okay, because they got home versus two bad teams. I wasn't
take
wrong, and I'm going to be wrong.
Take your
L. I will not take my L, because it's not an L.
Tiki.
It's not an L. You take your L.
What's my L for?
Your L is that I was right. They have been very mid since the Grimmies concert.
To get you guys to stop screaming at one another.
Well, can I have the last comment? Because I have to be stuck here with this. Also this.
No! I'm sorry, I screamed again. No! I'm sorry,
Jose
I did it again.
Iglesias got embarrassed last night, too, and you Met fans should be embarrassed.
Why?
Well, Sunday, the big news was, hey, he's going to be doing this pregame concert 2.5 hours before a home run derby starts. I mean, he might as well have had him play in the organ when nobody's in the building. That was brutal.
I'll give you that one.
That was odd. It wasn't announced like that.
But Tiki, can you admit that Sean and others, he's not alone on this. Like I'm exonerating that you weren't the only person, have to take the loss on the OMG concert.
Yeah, you should take the loss.
Thank you very much.
It was not hurtful to their luck.
Tiki has told me I should take the loss, and I'm still going to refuse to take the loss.
Well, one last thing.
Well, just stop screaming about it.
Yeah, seriously.
I'm sorry, Tiki.
And you caused me to scream. The only reason I screamed is because of him, Tiki. I apologize.
I need to wake you up. You said you were tired.
I slept 2 hours last night. Before you go, do you have the audio ready?
Of what?
Because I gave it to Paul Rosenberg, who worked yesterday because you were out. So it is audio of Sean Morash yelling
again
at a possum and a rat. So here's the audio, and then Sean could describe what happened. We did have to edit some things with beeps because there were some curse words, but Sean is yelling at a dead possum.
Get the f*** out of here! Get it out of the house! Get it!
Oh, it's bled. He killed
it. Dad, what the f***? Get it out of the house! Get it out the f*** out of the house!
So what happened?
So wait, the possum was dead, or was it playing possum?
Oh, we found out later it played possum.
And really?
We have not found said possum since.
What?
apparently, I moved into Jumanji. So the ending story is an underfacing part of my house has collapsed and was an entry point for animals, which
oh
I did not know.
God.
I woke up yesterday to police at my house because my wife's car got broken into. So I was up extra early.
Oh, my God.
That wasn't even part of the story. So
completely unrelated?
Unrelated, unless they planted these animals. Animals. 6 a.m., police there. My kids are sleeping. I get on the Peloton nice and early. I'm like, whatever, first day back at work, I'm going to be up early. I go downstairs to put on laundry, figure stuff out, and as I turn the corner downstairs, I just see a drop ceiling tile down, things knocked over everywhere in my basement, including my basement bathroom, and I knew, oh my God, there's something wrong here. I went downstairs, I ran up quickly, I'm like, I'm going to assume this is an animal because 2 years ago I had a rabbit in my house. Same kind of scenario.
A rabbit?
Yeah, 2 years ago I had a rabbit. Pulled a rabbit out of the attic. Anyway, I called my dad, I said, Dad, you got to get over here right now, I need a team. Who's available? The retired dad. He came over. First thing he said, grab your hockey sticks. Said, right. Whatever. We go downstairs. Can't find anything. He opens up the basement door. We're looking around. My dog's looking around. I go running outside, and I find a bloodied rat hiding in my like shed closet thing.
It was alive?
Alive, breathing barely. And I'm like, oh, my God, a rat got in. This is bad. So that was it. I text, well, I got to deal with this. I got an exterminator coming. I go up to Lowe's. I get everything. Ba, 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 ba. Finally, we clean up the rat. My dad cleans it. We get everything down. I go downstairs to start the cleanup. My dog runs downstairs and my dad. He starts attacking my wall unit of a secondary TV I have like you wouldn't believe. And my dad's like, there's got to be another one. There's another one. Go get him, Ranger. Go get him, Ranger. So now I am scared out of my mind. My dad is waiting with a door open and another hockey stick thinking he's going to slap a rat out. I go to slide the wall unit out of the way to give my dog a better sniff point to a possum standing up and going, get it out of here!
Oh my God.
My dog Ranger pounced on this thing like it was a loose football that OCU Manure shook. Shook it in its mouth, dropped it at my dad's feet, to which point now I grab the phone. I go, this is unfreaking believable. I'm going to start filming this. And I see it laying there. Now I start to get freaked out, which is what you heard. And my dad took about four shots, like he's playing the Rangers wing, to finally get it out of my house. Blood is all over my basement. I had to mop that up yesterday. But we went outside to my basement stairs. Possum's gone. So it played possum.
Wow.
Wow.
I commend you for the audio. Like, I commend you for that, for the video.
Right. Just being a content creator at heart, and I knew, you know what? Nobody's going to believe me
just
if I tell them a possum.
To start filming.
Well, because if I told you that story, who would believe you?
I mean, it would have been badass if you would have got a ranger killing the possum.
That would have been
potentially
better.
Killing the possum.
But I had just moved. Everything was so, everything's happening quick.
I can't blame him for getting everything, but the fact that he has it, because I've listened to that clip 34 times in the last day. And every single time I laugh. I think the audience needs to hear it one more time. The whole thing. Sean Morash battling a possum as
get the f*** out of it. Get it out of the house. Oh, Dad, what the f***? Get it out of the house.
It was taking forever.
Get it out the f*** out of the house.
He was trying.
Dude, he took forever.
Look, that should not have taken four shots. He doesn't actually play hockey.
You know, his plan, when you come over to your house as your father, if your plan is break out the hockey sticks, you better be like Alexei Lafreniere in a breakaway. It should not take you four shots. So I thank my dad for coming over. I thank my dog Ranger. But yeah, I also got electrocuted fixing my house yesterday.
Oh, jeez.
So it was a day. It was a day. But I'm glad I'm back. So
you're glad you're back too. We miss you. Yeah. Now I'm going away, so I won't see you for a week.
All right, yeah. And when I see you again Monday, I'm going to say, where were you?
Where was I?
Because
I'm going to Mexico, all right?
Enjoy.
I mean, thank you very much.
All right, so me, Rondé, Teak, Monday.
All right, thank you, Sean. Ladies and gentlemen, your Cinco de Fivo and everything else that followed in that endless discussion with him. I think it's a perfect time to hear from Ozzy and Woodridge. Seems like it's apropos. What's up, Ozzy?
Ozzy.
Hello, everybody. How you doing?
Hello. We're good.
Hello, Oz. What's on your mind today?
Evan?
Yeah.
Take a trip.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
I got to go to Mexico, around Mexico City area in November for my wife's niece's wedding, and I am flipping bricks.
It's funny. We had a decision to make, which is fly to Mexico City and drive multiple hours to the state that we're going to, or do a connecting flight out of Houston, Texas, and go directly to that state in Mexico. And usually I'll just drive, but in this case, we decided let's go two planes and get to that state that I'm going to as quickly as possible.
Like how long was the drive?
From Mexico City, it would have been 3 hours.
Oh,
from
yeah.
the airport right now, the location I'm going to is like 25 minutes. So 20 minutes. It's regular. So, yes. Best of luck, Ozzy. Hopefully you're not dead either.
Yeah, you would have been a sitting duck in that car on those roads. God forbid. God forbid. And I got to go in November right after our election. And just think if this guy, you know who, gets back into office.
Mm-hmm.
You think you're gonna volatility.
Be, you think you're going to be targeted or something as an American?
Dude, a light-eyed gringo. A ransom that no one is going to pay, but they can ask for quite the ransom.
No, I understand. So, I understand.
But once and for all, I am Team Morash.
Wow. Let's go. Hmm.
He is the future in front of the microphone, whereas the other guy is the future behind the glass.
Wow. Now, what happened? What happened here?
Yeah.
Right,
yeah,
this is you called Loogie, right? I mean, this is what's up.
What caused this?
No, I'll tell you what's up, Tiki. First off, Sean, if that situation with the rodents and the this and the that happened in my house, I would be as high pitched as you are and as hands off as you were. So we're simpatico with that.
Thank you, Ozzy. As right most men would be in that spot.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. So. The second reason is when I call into Morash on the weekend, Morash, my buddy, how you doing, Morash? Everything good?
Oh, up, just Oz? Can we What's get up, to Oz? The point? At some, we got to get out of here at 6:30.
Tommy, Tommy, all of a sudden now you want to talk to me. When I call into Morash's show on the weekend and he sees my name up on the call screen,
mm-hmm.
he doesn't pass me over mm-hmm. for an hour and mm-hmm. then let me. High on the line.
Wow. Right. Huh. Can I give my reasoning?
Oh, would you like to hear Ozzy Loogie's response, or are you not interested? It's completely up to you.
Well, I think Loogie's response is because he wanted to talk, let's trade Francisco Lindor with other brilliant callers. I think maybe that took precedence.
That did not. There was a reason why I didn't go to Ozzy.
All right.
Ozzy is a great caller. Ozzy is a great caller. But we all know Ozzy writes his call up before he does it, so he does the jokes. He called me on Sunday, and I did not trust him.
Why didn't you trust him?
Because I thought he had a joke written about something that happened the day before.
You think Ozzy would do that?
I think that there was a chance that he might have made light.
Hold on.
So
one
I
second.
Just was like, you know what? I should have. You know what, Oz?
But hold on.
All fair, I should have said, you know what, Ozzy? Let's just do this
that's
another
what
time.
I was just going to suggest.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, okay.
Ozzy,
right.
Ozzy, for the record. All right. Now, you have laid out inappropriate jokes before. Mm-hmm. That is true. But would you have said anything about the assassination attempt in your material when calling Loogie the next day or the day of? I think it was the day of.
It was the day after.
The day after. Be honest with us. Did you have material written about that?
I swear on my kids and my kittens that I did not. Okay. What I was intending to do...
Mm-hmm.
I was going to give full credit to the Positivity Prophet for our Metsies being back in the dance heading into the All-Star break.
Wow.
But now
he blew it.
He loses all credit.
Yeah. Wow. That's a bet. You know what, Ozzy? Thank you very much for the call.
Wow.
That's a terrible job by Loogie. Because he was afraid.
I don't know if it's
scared.
A terrible job.
That's going to take some time, Loogie, to win that back.
With Ozzy?
Yeah. It's going to take some time.
I'll get him back.
Like, think about this. I understand.
You should have just answered him. And as soon as he said something you didn't like, hang up on him.
Yeah. No, that's fair. That's fair. I mean, I got to other people, too. But in the back of my mind with Ozzy, and even if he didn't rewrite the joke, you never know with him. He goes off the cuff.
I understand protecting, making sure that no one crosses that line. Like, I respect that. But... why you would think that lowly of Ozzy and Woodbridge?
Right. No. Here we go.
It's only bad if you're offended by it.
You're twisting it now. I'm just saying Ozzy likes to make a lot of jokes. I saw what he was going to say on the station, and I was making correlations in my brain of where Ozzy was thinking about taking the conversation or where it might go. That's it. That's all.
This is tough, man. This is tough. Because if you're the future, you shouldn't be stuck in the old ways and taking weird trade calls. You should want a revolutionary caller like Ozzy. And unfortunately, you can only be the future if you tell yourself you're the future. You actually have to act. But sorry, Oz. You're more than welcome always when I call him. By the way, tomorrow, Oz, call right back. Me and Tiki will be on with you.
Yeah, but who's screening that call?
Scared Tommy?
I would never ban Ozzy from the show based on anything he just said about me. He's mad at me. He's being spiteful. He's the dog going wee-wee on the rug. I get that.
Well, didn't you deserve it?
No.
You deserve his ire?
Not really.
You let him wait for an hour.
Yeah. Okay. What he deserved is for me in a break to talk to him off the air. That's what he
deserved.
Well,
why did you do that?
But What is this, a murder trial? I don't know. Well, because I didn't.
So you made the guy just rot on hold for 2 hours because you thought he was going to make an inappropriate joke?
It wasn't 2 hours. You sound like Mike when a guy dumped it and the guy's been online for 15 minutes.
This guy waited an hour.
Did you take any breaks, Lugie?
I might have taken like one break. He was on for like an hour.
No, but so like a professional in the future, you know what they do? In the break, if they have a question, they come in and they grab the caller in the break and say, hey, I'm just worried about this. I want to put you up. This can't happen.
I already own to that mistake. It's just, so you know, I'm not sure why I have to keep answering that.
I would expect better.
I will pivot, Tiki, to something I really like about Ryan Hurley.
Which is?
I love the fact that Sean and Lugie are doing weekend shows.
I do too.
Like, I think it's awesome. I think it's great for them. Mm-hmm. I think it's great for our show.
100%.
I think it's great for the radio station. Like, I love every time I hear
continuity of voices.
Continuity of voices. And here's the other thing. It's like when you go to the gym. The more shows you do, the better you are. Like this Tommy Lugauer, he was saying he's the future, and you probably roll your eyes. He's a pretty damn good talk show host.
Generational talent.
I mean, you listen to him, and it's right. Like, okay.
And now people are starting to regurgitate his future.
That's right.
Generational talent.
So even if it's not true,
it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
Doesn't even matter.
People believe it's true.
Yes.
And let me just be clear before I lose people in the audience here. I'm all for inappropriate jokes. I just thought that day, not the day for it. And I apologize for projecting that on you,
Ozzy.
It's
okay to be scared of politics.
It wasn't necessarily scared. It was just like, you know what? It would break up the flow of the show, too.
By the way, you know Robert Menendez got convicted.
Yeah.
Just for those
senator from New Jersey.
Thank you for clarifying.
Real crook that guy is. And now everybody's demanding him resign.
Including the governor.
The governor of New Jersey, Phil Murphy. He's not going to resign, but he'll be removed. Because that's what we have to do. Didn't we do it with the Met fan, George Santos? We removed that guy.
Yes.
Remember that?
And I don't even know if he was convicted, was he?
I don't remember. He lied about
him. Mad.
That's George Santos, by the way. That's right. We have a drop of George Santos. All right, very quick break. We'll come back with your calls, 888-808-1019. And a huge list has been revealed from our friends at Awful Announcing that may cause like a mini civil war amongst New York baseball fans. So we'll address it, and we'll get your opinions on it. I want to congratulate a well-deserved honor, a very, very well-deserved honor that was achieved by one Gary Cohen, Keith Hernandez, and Ronnie Darling. Awful Announcing, Tommy Lugauer's favorite website, he's been featured a lot lately, did a very careful poll on the best broadcast booths in local Major League Baseball. And it wasn't just someone's opinion putting a ranking out there to get a lot of clicks. It was a carefully studied, meticulous poll.
What were the metrics?
I have to look that up. I'm sorry. I don't know. Entertainment. Right. You know, how good they are. How much they know about
how
baseball.
Accurate.
Yeah. It was the 2024 local MLB broadcast rankings. And they were number one. So, by the way, I'll give you the specifics.
Word up.
Awful Announcing had over 13,000 vote casts with an average grade of 2.42.
Who were the voters, if I may ask?
The voters were readers. It was readers.
Got it.
And it was a lot of readers, and it was done with grades, and it was done very, very carefully, very, very meticulously.
Okay.
And
I trust them.
The Chicago White Sox were dead last, which I'm not surprised about, because I think their new play-by-play guy is hated by everybody. The New York Mets were number one.
Where were the Yankees?
It's a great question. Where were the New York Yankees? They were not number two. They were not number three. They were not number four. They were not number five. They were number 22.
What?
22. The most common grade they got was B. So they did not do all that well. Your thoughts? I think that's unfair. They're better than 22.
Yeah.
Well, just to defend them or not defend them, the big difference there, though, above anything else, is the Yankees rotate analysts constantly. You never get a consistent
I understand.
So if that grades them down, fine.
No, and I've said that personally.
I didn't even think about that, but that you're probably right.
We talked.
It was not a consistency.
Recently, we talked about the broadcast booth, because I know that one was offended by that. Michael Kay was offended by
that. The Yankees are dogs.
I'll be honest about that. And what I said was, as a baseball fan who watches every game, I actually like the Yes Broadcast Crew. Yeah. I really do. Where I would grade them down is that there isn't that continuity that SNY has. But that's just me. And I wouldn't put them 22. And trust me, I watch a lot of local baseball as much as I humanly can, especially with our fantasy teams. Lugie does it too. And these local broadcasters around Major League Baseball, they mostly suck. The Yes Network is good. You can't say they suck. So I will say, as much as I want to put over my SNY guys, and they should be number one, the Yes guys are top five. Like, I'm sorry. So I do disagree with how poorly they did. And does the continuity hurt them? Yes, it hurts. It hurts them in my eyes, but not enough to be 22.
You're right. One thing I find very odd.
Go ahead.
I've always found odd over the last couple of years, obviously living here and watching baseball. I think Gary, obviously Ron and Keith are awesome. It's great. But why do Met fans treat this like the biggest deal in the world constantly? Whenever you're in an argument with a Met fan,
meaning about the broadcast,
it's so odd. Like, okay, great. You got what? Why? It's like such a weird thing that Met fans are so proud of. It's hard to explain.
Why is that weird?
Because nobody in any sport, no fan base in any sport goes out of the way to go, and guess what? We got the best damn bro. It's just a weird thing to be super pumped.
I will give you an answer.
I'm not even trying to trash. It's just weird to
me. Well, no, you are trolling, and that's okay. That's who you are. I think that the reason why Met fans are so proud of this broadcast booth is because they're uniquely awesome. And it is unique to have a broadcast crew that Met fans or any fan base truly adores on that kind of level. So I don't think it's a nanny poo-poo thing like we're better than you. I think it's more, this is such a great crew and we've had it for a long time.
So I don't know, because I don't listen to broadcasts outside of the New York area.
Mm-hmm.
So why are they uniquely awesome relative to the Cincinnati Reds?
Because I think that most other crews, and I am generalizing when I say this, are over-the-top homers. I don't think they are objective, and I don't think they're nearly as entertaining.
But they're speaking to their audience. Okay. It's not a national broadcast.
Well, let Pirate fans like Joe Block and Greg Brown. That's good for them. Mm. I think they suck. I think Neil Walker is a bore. That's just me. What do you want me to tell you?
Have you heard him?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Why do you think I mentioned them?
I don't know.
I mention them because they stink, because I've watched.
Because their names were right in front of you?
I mean, you think Jeff Brantley's a good analyst? Like, what planet are we on here?
Neil Walker was very
critical. Where are the former players?
Oh, you want me to name the former players?
Yes.
All right, let's go through it. The Angels have Mark Gubiza. He stunk. The Red Sox have Lou Merlone. Yuck. Will Middlebrooks. Give me a break. Kevin Millar.
I like Will Middlebrooks.
Do you?
Yeah.
Okay. Kevin Millar is solid.
I like him as a person.
Oh, I'm not saying they're bad people.
Okay.
No. Will Middlebrooks, I'm sure, is a great guy.
I've never heard him
do
a broadcast.
They're bores. They're horrible bores.
He doesn't seem like a bore.
LaTroy Hawkins, solid. LaTroy Hawkins is solid. I'm a LaTroy Hawkins guy. Hmm. Justin Moore, no. Oh, my God. If you can't sleep at night like I couldn't last night, just listen to Justin Moreno talk. You're going to fall asleep. Tommy Glavin. Oh, my God. They shouldn't have left Tommy Glavin.
He's very good on TV.
I know. I'm sorry. I'm taking that back. The Braves actually have a sneaky good crew because Jeff Francoeur and Tom Glavin are really good.
Uh-huh.
And CJ Nitkowski is not that bad. So I actually think the Braves are pretty good.
I like CJ, too.
Dave Sims
is a good guy.
Dave Sims is the best in the business. The Mariners should have been top five.
But who's his analyst?
Dan Wilson and Mike Blowers. They stink. They're horrible. Let's see who else we got. The Cubs.
Very hard thing to come up with a list on. You know.
I'm looking at all these guys. Oh, and here's the worst one, the Phillies. Ugh. No, I'm just kidding. I like the Phillies.
Who's the Phillies?
Tom McCarthy's great.
Tom's my dude. No, get Tom McCarthy's name out your mouth. Come on there and smack you.
I took it back. No, I like Tom McCarthy, and I really hate to admit this. I think John Crook is very funny.
Mm,
I think John Crook has got a lot of Keith in him, in a way. And so, look, the Phillies were seventh, and they probably deserve to be in that area. I guess what I'm just overall saying, Mike Schmidt's a waste of time. He should retire. But what I'm saying in general is that we are proud of the Met broadcasters. We just are. I guess I'll ask you this real quick before you have something else to say, because I have a question for you.
Well, maybe it's PBS. Can I just ask you, who was the first ever designated hitter in Major League Baseball?
It was the guy from the Yankees, Bloomberg, Ron Bloomberg.
Great. You got that right.
What was the point of that question?
I don't know. He's trying to test your baseball knowledge.
Do you think to be a great...
Did you know the answer, TK?
Only because BT and I had him on our show like 8 years
follow
ago.
Follow me here.
Dude, how badass would it have been if I was like, Tiki, and then you just swoop in and answer it?
I would have randomly got that one. Only because we had him on our show.
Do you think Mount Rushmore-esque baseball announcing teams, when having a conversation about said DH, should know his name?
What are you trying to do now?
I'm just telling you, last Friday night, or whenever that Friday night was versus Pittsburgh, Keith and Gary went back and forth, called him Blomberg about four times, and I got a little irritated. You got to call yourselves the best announcing team. Get Ron Bloomberg's name right.
That's your nitpick?
Well, I'm just saying.
95% of the audience think that's a mayor.
No, but the point I think those guys are great, but everybody, come on. There's certain names you should get right. That name
should
have got
right. Don't besmirch me, Loogie. I only know it because BT. It's the only reason I know
that's one of his guys. By the way, you said the Yankees finished in what?
22nd.
22nd. You know what? Maybe they need a new voice in that booth. After Craig does a broadcast with Susan, we should put Craigie on the TV broadcast. I'm not saying in place of anybody, but just insert him in there. They like to rotate anyway. Get Craig in there. Craig and Michael Kay, I think people would tune in for that.
What is this, Monday Night Football?
I think if the New York Yankees had full disclosure, full decisions on that, they probably would. Sure. They probably would do it. My question to you, Sean, was... Met fans are very prideful about Gary, Keith, and Ron.
Yeah.
They've given away bobbleheads. People like it. You're 100% right that there is this, like, connection.
Yeah.
Why don't you guys have that with your broadcasters? Like, it doesn't seem like Yankee fans feel that way about Michael, about Paul O'Neill. You feel that way about him as a player, sure. But, like, I think most Met fans now think of Keith Hernandez, believe it or not, as an announcer more than a player, which is crazy to say.
I think, truthfully, if I could diagnose the Yankee fan, I think Yankee fans by nature... are more critical, and therefore, like, we criticize everything. You guys all think we're nuts. The Yankees are 19 games over, and we've criticized this team. I think that just trickles down. I think we just expect such greatness because of our spoiled, rotten history that we take it on the answers.
I would actually say I think it's because Paul still feels like he was close to playing, even though it wasn't. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Keith feels like it was so long ago. And so he has this years of baseball knowledge and broadcasting knowledge, and he's seen it all, and he's heard it all, and I don't know. I think it's an age thing.
I also think we just don't care enough to, like, if we really wanted to be critical, or like, we just don't care.
I know what Evan's saying. Like, there's this sense that with Ron and Keith, it just feels like they're just hugging you every game.
Yeah, they're kind of iconic now to Met fans.
That's why I view it as odd, because I don't feel that way, but it's not because I dislike the Yankee team. It's just, I find that to be an odd thing to cherish so much.
I want to ask you a question.
Yeah.
I want to ask both of you guys a question. Put yourself on record. You can have an opinion. And SNY, by the way, does not mind. We love that SNY carries us, but they would appreciate honest opinions. You don't need to say anything because we're on SNY. I promise you that. They're great people. They don't need that. My opinion, which I've laid out, is that Gary, Keith, Ron is the best booth in all of baseball, and I think the Yankee booth is really good. Like, I think it's actually underrated, and it's top five, and I just laid out what hurts them a little bit, the continuity.
Yeah.
But I do love the booth. Who has a better booth, SNY or yes?
SNY.
I
mean,
they do.
Yeah.
Okay. And he's not saying that because we're on it. How about you, Sean, since you just besmirched us?
The whole team, I'm going SNY.
Oh, really? So then what is your problem? You know it's the elite crew.
No.
You know that.
I will tell you.
So then what is the freaking problem?
Okay, you're going to ask it a third time, or can I just
No, one more time.
Huh.
Tiki, what is the freaking problem?
I will tell you.
I'm good now.
If I put myself in a Yankee, if the Yankees were on SNY, a great, great network to watch baseball, and the roles were reversed, I don't believe Yankee fans would be reminding everybody in every conversation how great their booth is. That's my only. It's not a knock on the booth. It's just a weird thing that Met fans care so much and are so prideful about. When you never see another team in professional sports talk like that.
I think you're getting too deep into it. I think it's just a comfort thing. There's something comfortable about the SNY booth.
Well, I think a lot of it is the longevity. Gary Cohen, even before he joined SNY, was right here on WFAN doing Mets play-by-play since 1989, if I'm not mistaken. That's an incredibly long run.
Yeah,
so I do agree with
you.
That,
just feel very familiar with their voices.
You know what they remind me of, Met fans, with SNY? It's a lot like broadcasters in our industry that went to Syracuse. How do you know somebody went to Syracuse? They tell you. And how do you know Met fans love the booth? Because they tell you constantly.
And why are you still stuck on this?
You know what it is?
I don't know why you're so stuck on this.
Sean and Evan do this a lot. Sometimes they just outwardly troll you, and they'll just throw the troll at you.
Yeah.
And then other times they lead the breadcrumbs so that you troll yourself. So I'll play Sean's game so we can move on. Sean wants us as Met fans, either me or Evan, to say, we hold on to the broadcast because we don't win. You have your broadcast that you hold on to because you don't win the World Series.
But I don't think it's that.
That's what he's thinking deep down.
I don't think it's that. I think there's just something. So my wife, for whatever reason, because it's not her era, loves the Golden Girls, right? You guys watch the Golden Girls?
Oh yeah.
So we had Rue McClanahan on in the early days of Joe and Evan,
like almost nightly, at least recently. Yes. We watch the Golden Girls when we go to sleep,
right?
And it's not like we're paying attention. It's just something really comfortable about it.
Oh, that makes sense,
right? You just feel safe in their arms and their stupid humor, and I don't know. It's just comforting.
No, I think it's a great point.
When I listen to the Mets, or when I think about the Mets broadcast, that's what it feels like.
Yes.
It feels very comfortable.
I agree.
They're not going to shock me. They're not going to do anything.
Oh, no, I disagree with that. They'll shock you.
You know what, you know what I mean. But, like, you know what you're getting. It's just very comfortable to me.
Yeah. No, I get that aspect of it. They've been doing it a long time.
Yes, and I think that's it.
Absolutely. I mean, Gary Cohen, and I've said this about Howie Rose, Howie and Gary, for our generation, for anyone who's, you know, I'd say 50 and younger, those are our voices.
Yeah.
Like, we don't remember Lindsey Nelson. I certainly had a little bit of Bob Murphy, but, you know, a little bit of Ralph Kiner, but those guys are the voices. So anyhow, congratulations to the SNY crew for being voted basically every year the best broadcast crew in local baseball. Let's get to some of your calls. Let's go to Denise in the Bronx. How you doing, Denise?
Hi, guys. Can you hear me?
We can hear you. How you doing?
Okay, great. Evan, I have to tell you, big Mets fan. I'm a big fan of yours. I got to talk to Loogie. I was so excited. I love Loogie. And Tiki, I just have to say, you have the smoothest voice I have ever heard.
Thank you.
I would
thank
listen
you.
To you read the encyclopedia.
It's funny you say that, because wow. Greg Camillo once said that to me when I had to get up and introduce the game plan, because Sean Payton got mad at me because I was not paying attention to him. And he said, Tiki, am I boring you? I was like, you kind of taught this the other day. I know it already. So he said, well, get up and teach it. So I had to get up and teach it. Wow. And when I sat down, Greg Camillo was like, man, your voice is really sweet.
I
can listen
it's
to
like
you a lot.
Velvet. I love it.
Thank you,
anyway,
Denise.
I have a great. You're welcome. I have a great possum story. This is many years ago. We lived. It was a mother-daughter house, and my daughter was little. I was pregnant with my second child, and my mother's like, "Can you come in here? There's a hole in the ceiling." So I go into the other side of the house, and I look up, and I'm like, "I don't understand what happened." I'm looking. There's no water. All of a sudden, my dog comes charging from my side of the house in there, and he goes up against the wall where they have their TV on their stand. So I go to the dog, and there's a possum there standing and hissing. So I grab the dog. I start screaming. My mother's like, why are you screaming? I'm like, there's a possum. She starts screaming. Now my daughter's crying. She's hugging me. It was a nice day. The windows were open. My mother and I are just blood-curdling screams. Well, the next-door neighbors must have heard it. They called the police.
Oh, geez.
The police come to the house. Now, like I said, it's a mother-daughter. So they go to where the main entrance is, and they're ringing the bell, and they're knocking on the door. And, of course, we don't hear it. We're on the other side of the house, and we're screaming. They knock down the front door, come running through the house, following the sound of our screams into my mother's side of the house with their guns drawn.
Oh, wow.
Because they think we're getting murdered. They think we're getting murdered.
Wow.
So we're screaming, and we're trying to tell them there's a possum. And so the one cop says to me, there's a possum in the house? I'm like, yes, and I'm pointing. So that they put their guns into their holsters, and the one cop is like, oh, Jesus Christ, he say it, right? They have a taser. They taser the possum.
Get out!
And they put him in a garbage bag and take him out of the house.
Wow.
Could you imagine?
That's kind of epic, Denise.
I would have reacted, Denise, the exact same way. I would have screamed and yelled, and I would have waited till the police came to tase that bad boy. I'm listening to her. I'm like, so far, I'm in lockstep with everything she did.
Don't
and
you
great job
gloves?
By the officers.
Don't you have gloves?
To do
like,
what?
Like, just grab it.
No,
grab it.
You're nuts, man. You're like everybody else on social media yesterday. 96% of all dudes, if they see a possum like that in their house, are freaking out and curdled. Nobody's grabbing gloves.
No, I think it depends on how you react.
No way are you grabbing a possum.
I would have. My wife would have freaked out. But I'm just always calmer in those situations.
I believe you would.
The thing stands up and hisses at you.
Okay, whatever.
It's Tiki Barber. He dealt with 300-pound linebackers. Like, you think
none of them had rabies?
I'm also the kind of guy, if a dog is barking at me, I'll try to calm the dog down. I'm not like running away from a dog, like a big dog. We had a dog behind us, a mastiff. Yeah. It passed away, unfortunately. He was awesome, but everybody was scared of him,
right?
Because he'd get out of the house, get out of the gate. And he'd just be like, rawr, rawr. Like, this one woman came, my neighbor came like with her dog in her hands. Like, can I come in your house? This mastiff is coming to get me. And I was like, just calm down. So I went out, just confronted him. He stopped and went back home. So I don't know. I don't have a fear of animals like that.
I believe that you would do that. I do kind of agree with Sean that most guys are big talkers. Mm. Like, I'm admitting everything, Denise, that I would have done.
It's that big, man.
I'm not dealing with that.
It's I'm that leaving
the
big.
House. I'll tell you exactly what I would do if there was a possum in my house. I'm taking my sons. I'm taking my wife. Yeah. I'm taking Dudley, who's a little dog, and we're getting the hell out of the house.
All right. Home Depot.
Calling the police.
Lowe's. Lowe's is right behind you.
Yeah.
Tonight when you go home, stop at Lowe's and get those big industrial gloves. Like those big gloves that like they are bite proof.
But you expect me to what have another possum?
No, because I trust me, if there is a possum in your house or any animal and you have that glove on, it protects you. You'll feel safe.
I don't want to have
you'll
glove
feel
on.
Like I can grab this thing and it can't hurt
Tiki,
me.
Tiki, I think you're missing something. Great. I'm sure that works. Guys like Sean and I, we're not doing we're leaving the house.
Of course. Yesterday, I was on the verge of giving up a 2.7 interest rate because of a possum. Like, I was selling, and I didn't care what I got for it.
I think there's a chance I sell my house if there's a possum in there. I think I'm with you on that. Like, I admit it.
What about spiders?
No, I kill spiders all the time. No, I try not to.
What about a snake?
Yeah, I'm out.
Are you kidding me? Out. Snake, I leave Long Island permanent.
A rat, a mouse, a snake, I'm out.
Yeah.
When
I lived in New Rochelle, I had a snake in my basement.
What?
Yeah.
I live very close to the Rochelle, now right. I'm afraid.
It was an elevator, like, and it flooded. We didn't ever use it, and underneath there was a snake sitting in there.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, it was.
So for city folk like I was, it's cockroaches. I was in the closet one time in my underwear, and there was a cockroach, and I stood, I'm not joking, I stood in the closet for 40 minutes till my wife got home to kill it. I would not leave.
I appreciate your honesty on that. That one doesn't scare me.
A cockroach? Reason, yeah. Oh, they're so gross.
No, dude. I'm not saying they're not gross. I'm more in line to take care of it myself than I am those other things. I'm leaving the house. But with a cockroach, with a spider, like, I don't love it. I'm not trying to tell you I'm having a good time, but I won't be hiding in the... I wouldn't be hiding in the closet.
I was hiding.
No, I don't blame
you. Honey, get home quick, please, and kill this thing.
Oh, that's amazing.
I understand.